my heart. Amen. Because I'm a father who loves, you know, his daughters. But I also believe that we have the father of father who loves his children as well. Amen. Let's give it up for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm grateful to be up here this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Charlie. Amen. Who's a man of faith. Amen. Who's a man who loves God and knows, amen, what God is doing. So, Pastor Charlie, we send our prayers out to him. I just want to thank him and thank Sister Marlene for the opportunity to be up here, amen, to preach God's word. This is something that we can't take lightly, amen. This is something that I don't take lightly as a man, amen. I don't take this lightly because I know that there's lives that need to be changed, amen. And if I come with nothing, nothing's going to happen, amen. But I'm coming with the gospel where things are going to take place here this morning. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. I also want to thank my beautiful wife. Amen. Who's been putting up with me. Amen. I've been putting up with her. We put up with each other. Amen. But God has blessed me with an amazing wife. Amen. That I can't ask for anything more of. Amen. And I want to thank my mom who's here, my sister. Amen. I love my mom with all my heart. Amen. Solid foundation. Even though there was only one parent, there was a solid foundation there. Amen. Here this beautiful morning, I want to open up in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, and just springboard into the message. It says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you here this beautiful Sunday morning, God. We thank you for your presence that's already here, God. We sense that you're here, and we sense that you're trying to do something great and something new, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that every heart be open, Lord, that every mind be open, Lord, that you be able to minister your word through me here this day, God, that you put me to the side, Lord, and let your people hear the voice behind the voice, God. For this is your word that's being preached, God. This is your truth, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you take full control, Lord. We thank you, we love you, and we all say amen. Amen. Let's give it up for the Lord one more time, amen. I'm going to read that again in the book of Joshua. It says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. How many know that's a great promise? Amen. That's a great promise from God's word that wherever we go, he's going to be with us, right? No matter if we're here in Milwaukee, right? Somebody may go to Africa. Wherever you go, God is going with you. Amen. That's a great promise to have. Amen. Wherever you go. Amen. Wherever you go. If you just go home today, God's going to be with you. If you're on your ride home, God's going to be with you. Amen. If something tragic happens to where you lose your life, God's going to be with you. Amen. See, we need to rejoice in that because wherever we go, the Bible says that he's going to be with us. Amen. In the title to this message, we've had this series going on all year. The time is now. Amen. And I just want to change it up a little. I put the time is not now. Amen. As I go open up, I want to go to the book of Galatians. Chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. And the Bible reads, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own self, sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit of God will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing good, what is good. At just the right time," tell your neighbor, "at just the right time. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if," catch that word, "if we don't give up." Amen. And I have 3 points here. And the first one is the time is not now to give up. Amen. The time is not now to give up. We need to know that in the Bible it says we will reap what we sow. Amen. And if we sow a spirit of giving up, we will reap the spirit of giving up. Amen? Amen. If we sow the spirit of giving up, the people that are coming up behind us will have that same spirit in them. Amen. See, we need to know here that within our bloodline, we don't have that spirit of giving up within us. Amen. When we were in the world, if we wanted that sack, right, we weren't going to give up until we got it, right? If we were in the world and we wanted that cigarette, right, we'd go hustle up 25 cents to get a cigarette from the corner store, right? We got what we wanted because we don't have that spirit to give up. Amen. It's not in our bloodline. Imagine if Jesus gave up, right? Picture that for a second. Imagine if Jesus gave up. None of us will be here, right? But that's not in our bloodline. Jesus took it all the way to the cross, amen? And it didn't stop there at the cross, right? He rose in 3 days, right? He didn't have that spirit to give up. Why should we have that spirit? It's not in our blood. It's not in our DNA, amen? We can look to our ministry, Pastor Sonny. He doesn't have a spirit to give up, amen? Pastor Ed, he didn't have a spirit to give up, right? Pastor Herb, he didn't have that spirit to give up. Pastor Charlie has that same spirit in him. We have that same DNA, amen? Till death do us part, amen? Not just to our spouse, right? But to God, till death do us part. How many here want that the blessings of God, amen? Then don't give up, amen? You want the blessings of God? Don't give up. Because I promise you, if you give up, you won't be able to receive it. You'll be out of position, and somebody else will be in the position to receive it. Amen? If you're out of position, God will put somebody else in position to receive the blessings that were meant for you. I don't know about you, but man, I'm not here to give up. I'm not here to let somebody else get my blessings. Amen? I already seen just two of my blessings right here. And if I was out of position, I wouldn't have been able to see that. Right? If I was out of position, I wouldn't have been able to see, you know, my kids, that beautiful picture of them worshiping God on the cross of God, amen? I wouldn't have been able to see my kids praise dancing, right? They would have been dancing in the world, right? What people do nowadays, twerking and stuff, right? We don't do that, right? Because we know the God that we serve, amen? We serve a faithful God, a God that didn't give up, right? A God that will never give up on us because his word says he'll never leave us nor forsake us, amen? We serve a faithful God. Let me say that again. We serve a faithful God. When you give up on God, you give up on the promises he has given you, right? God has given each and every one of us a promise, amen? If you study God's word, you'll receive promises from God, amen? If you give up on God, you forfeit your promises, amen? That's like showing up to a game with only half the players, right? Automatic, you have to forfeit. Amen? But the type of God that we serve, amen, is still going to be there for you. Amen. Amen? When we give up on God, you also give up on the people you're supposed to reach. How many know there's a lot of unsaved people out there, right? A lot of souls that are going without knowing the love of Christ. If we give up on God, we forfeit their souls. We need to realize that our decisions, our actions don't only affect us as Christians. Our actions affect the people that are out there still lost and bound, which some of them are our family members, right? Some of them are our lifelong friends, amen? Some of them can be our parents or grandparents, our children, amen? When we forfeit the call of God and we give up on God, it affects them as well. I have some statistics here. It says there's almost 7.5 billion people in the world. It's a lot of people, right? 2.3 billion claim to be Christians, right? Sounds good, right? And by 2050, they expect the Christian population to go up to 2.9 billion people. Amen? Souls being saved, right? Sounds good, right? The population of the world is expected to be 9.7 billion people by 2050. The study also went on to say that by 2050, the Muslim population will be equal to Christians, and within this century, they will surpass Christians in population. Right? Christians, right? You know what that tells me? People are giving up, right? People are giving up. People are forfeiting their call of God. People are giving up because, man, the numbers say it. Within this century, there's going to be more people, more Muslims within this country than there is Christians. And you know what that says? That there's going to be more people going to hell. More people going to hell. If you figure 2.9 billion people claim to be Christians, then you need to know over 2.9 billion people by 2050 will be going to hell. And that's just with the one religion. Amen? If we give up, I believe these statistics are going to stand. If we give up, I believe there's going to be more and more people going to hell because of the lack of wisdom, right? Because of them not knowing Christ. We need to realize that if we give up, them statistics are going to stand. But how many know we serve a great God? Amen. Amen. We serve a God that's able to change that statistic around, right? Amen. And to bring more people building onto the kingdom of God. We need to know that if we give up, it ends with us. It falls on us as Christians, whether people go to hell or not. Amen. If we don't preach the gospel, if we give up and we don't preach God's word, then there's going to be many lives that are going to suffer for an eternity, not just for life here on earth. Amen. Because that's just a blink of an eye. But I'm talking about eternity, where they'll be tortured for the rest of their life. Like I said, our family members, some of our spouses, amen. Would you want that for your household? That only you get into heaven? Amen. And if you give up, nobody gets into heaven in your household. As men, we need to rise up. Amen. As men, we need to rise up and take our stand, our position in the household. Amen. Because the church is going to be based off what our household looks like, right? If our household in order, it's going to be hard for the church to be in order. Amen. You can fake it till you make it, but the light will shine, right? The light's going to show out, right? Your sin will be found out. We can't give up. I know it can be easier to just throw in the towel, right? But we'll receive the greatest reward of all. Amen? If we stay in the fight to the end. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7. It reads, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." Rewarded. We're not talking about finances, right? We're not talking about fancy cars and clothes. We're talking about eternal happiness with the Father. The greatest gift of all. Amen? Too many people are trying to get what they can on earth. Just know when you die, you're not taking that with you. Amen? If you give up, you might lose that too. Amen? If you give up, you're not just giving up your life, you're giving up everything you have. Amen? Because that's the type of people we were. Amen? Catch what I said. That's the type of people we were. Amen? Because God called us a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Amen? I'm looking at a bunch of new creations. Amen? That God has saved with a purpose, not to give up. Amen? We don't have that in our bloodlines. Amen? Number two, the time is not now to walk away from God. If we can go to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. And it reads, "When people escape from the wickedness of the world," amen, which was you and I, right? We escaped it. "When people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ," right? "And then get entangled and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than they were before," right? "It would be better," right? "It would be better if they have never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life." Verse 22, "They prove the truth of this proverb, 'A dog returns to its vomit,'" right? "And another says, 'A washed pig returns to the mud.'" A dog returns to its vomit, right? That means everything he spit out, right? Everything he spit out, he licks it back up, right? And eats it. Disgusting, right? Disgusting, right? That's what people are doing, right? That's what people are doing. It says here, another says, a washed pig returns to the mud, right? You're all washed and clean, right? Getting ready to get skinned for bacon, and now nobody wants you because you're muddy again, right? It would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life, right? They were worse off, right? For those that got saved and veered off, they were worse off when they went back. Amen? Pastor Herb shared that, you know, he came to the church and he got saved and stuff took place where he left, right? And stuff got worse, right? It got worse for him. And Pastor Ed told him, it's on you. This one's on you, right? When people backslide, it's on you. Amen? But we need to know that God is faithful. Amen? That God is faithful. He's there, right? Looking to clean up some of that vomit so you don't go back to him. He's there trying to clean you back up so that you're not full of mud again. God's there. He's there for you. Amen? The time is not now to walk away from God. Amen? When you walk away from God, you're worse off than you came to him. Amen? It says right here, you're better off not even knowing. Right? You're better off not even knowing the truth. You're better off just staying out the church and letting the world have its way with you, right? Than to know the love of God, than to have the wisdom of Christ, amen? To know about his righteousness, and then just reject it at the end, amen? You're worse off than what you came in, right? For that, you might as well just stay on that path of being bad, right? Instead of just going back to be worse, amen? I just want to touch on King Solomon, amen? He knew God, right? He had experiences with God. King Solomon was a ladies' man, right? How many ladies' men we got in here? Be careful, right? Be careful. Because God warned him about these women, right? He made it clear to him. He said, you watch out with these women, right? They're going to turn your hearts away from me. They're going to turn your hearts to their gods, right? It said that he had over 700 wives and 300 concubines, right? Ladies, man, right? But God warned him. God clearly told him, hey, you watch out for them girls. Some of you men need to watch out for some of them girls, amen? You need to realize that there's women that may take your eyes off of God, amen? They're going to take your eyes off of God, and what happens? He got punished for it, right? Not just him, his descendants got punished for it. God allowed, because of David's faithfulness, he allowed King Solomon to live, right, as king. But as soon as he died, he did what? He took that kingdom over, amen? Because of Solomon's unfaithfulness to God, right, because he allowed the women that God clearly told him about to take his eyes off of Jesus, off of God, amen? The kingdom, his descendants, the people that he was raising up, right? Their kingdom got overtook. In worshiping these gods, he walked away from God, right? Little g gods, goddesses, right? He walked away from God, right? And God came to him in a vision and told him, hey, watch out for these women, amen? Watch out for them. Watch out for them because they're going to take your focus off of me. And when your focus is off of me, it's all bad for you. Amen? And we need to catch that here this day. When we're not focused on God, it's all bad for us. Amen? When we focus on ourselves, amen, it's all bad for us. When we focus on our problems, right, we don't focus on the person that's able to answer the problem. Amen? We focus on the problems, but we don't focus on the one that can bring the solution to your problems, that can bring the waves and the winds down in the midst of your storm. Amen? If we walk away from God, it doesn't affect us, just us, but our families, our friends, and people that are supposed to hear about God from us. Amen? If I walked away from God, like I said earlier, I wouldn't be able to see my kids up here praise dancing. If I walked away from God, I wouldn't be able to run the youth ministry anymore. If I walked away from God, I wouldn't be able to be that husband to my wife. Amen. If I walked away from God, I wouldn't be able to be that brother to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. If I walked away from God, right, the end is sure to come because I know the type of person that I used to be. Amen. The time is not now to walk away from God. Amen. As a matter of fact, the time is now to get closer to God. Amen. In the midst of your struggles and your circumstances, the time is now to get closer to God. It's not time to just walk away. Amen. You're too close to God to just walk away and think like, man, oh, I could do it another day. Right? There's people that don't have that chance. There's people that don't have that chance. There's people that when they walk away, amen, that's it for them. Amen. The time is not now to walk away from God. The city needs us, guys. The city needs us as true disciples of Christ. This city needs us, right? If it stops here with us, then we might as well just go back to the Southside building, right? We might as well just forfeit this church and let somebody else who's going to come in and pack this church out, right? We might as well get out of the way of what God is trying to do and go back to where we were at, right? Comfortable, amen? If we're going to walk away from God, there's no point for us to have this, amen? But I believe that there's been too much people doing hard work, amen, putting their hands to the plow, sowing seed, amen. There's been too many people who have blood, sweat, and tears poured into this building, amen. Too many people to give this up, amen. It's not going to stop here with us because I know there's grateful people in this place that are not going to walk away from God, that are going to stay on that narrow path, amen, that few will find. The few are here today, amen. We found the path to righteousness, amen. Sounds like about a dozen people found the path. No, I said we all found the path to righteousness, amen. That's something we need to be grateful for. We need to be grateful. God couldn't, he could have just left us in the midst of our struggles. Amen. But he didn't. He chose to keep us. Amen. Number three, I put the time is not now to think you're alone. Right? Like the song, I am not alone. Put me on the worship team, Sister Marlene. Amen. No, I'll stick. Where I belong, amen. The time is not now to think you're alone, amen. We need to know that we're not alone, amen. If we can go to the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 12 through 17. It says, verse 12, one day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land. But you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me I know you by name, right? I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know what your ways are so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. Amen. How many have the favor of the Lord on them? Amen. Amen. And remember that this nation is your very own people. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Milwaukee is God's people. Amen. 15 says, then Moses said, if you do not personally go with me, don't make us leave this place. How will anybody know that you look favorably on me and my people, on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets us apart, amen, from all other people on earth. Verse 17, then the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked for. I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. Amen. See, Moses didn't ask for all these things. He didn't ask for God to shut the Israelites up, right? For all the murmuring and complaining, right? He didn't ask for all these things. No, he said, God, I want your presence. Amen. If you don't go with us, then just leave us here. Amen. Moses didn't ask for all these things, right? He just asked for God's presence. Amen. God's presence. I was listening to a William McDowell worship song, and it says, if you seek after things, you'll miss God. But if you seek after God, the things will come. Too many people are seeking after things, and they miss God walking past them. Amen. Too many people are focused on things, and they're missing God walk right past them. Amen. God is walking right past you today. Now, are you thinking about things that are going to happen after service, or are you looking for God? If you look for him, you will find him. Amen. Because the Bible says that if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with what? All your heart. Amen. So here this day, are you seeking God with all your heart? Or are you seeking him with half your heart and seeking things with the other half of your heart? And not necessarily in that order. Amen. There's people half-heartedly seeking God and thinking that everything's going to be put into place. No, he says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all things, right? All things, right? Which means salvation to your family, which means finances, which means mended relationships, right? Mended broken hearts. It doesn't just say, salvation for yourself. No, it says all things will be added unto you if you seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Too many people are not seeking the face of God with all that they have. Amen? That's a dangerous place. Amen? Too many people are thinking the presence of God isn't with them. And if that was not true, if that was true, none of us would be here today. Right? Even in the midst of your mess, God was with you. And that's the reason why we're here today. Because his presence was with us all along. Right? He was right there in front of us. Even when we turned our back, he was still right there with his hand right upon us, right? When some of those bullets were supposed to hit you, right, they just whizzed right past you, right? When that overdose was supposed to take you out, right, God breathed breath right back into your nostrils, right? When that car was supposed to kill you in that accident, but God protected you, right? It's because his presence is with you. Amen? We need to know that. We're not going anywhere without the presence of God. Right. Moses said right here in verse 15, then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Amen. And for me, that's what I tell God. God, if you're not going to go with me to whatever city you have in store for me, then just leave me here in Milwaukee. Amen. Where I know your presence is with me. If you're not going to go before me, then you know what? Just leave me here, right? I'll be fine here, right? If you're not going to go to that city where my name is stamped on and you're not going to start breaking the shackles and chains before I get there, then just leave me here. Amen? And that's what Moses told God. He said, if you're not going to personally go with us, then just leave us here, right? But we go back up to 14 where it says, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you. Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. See, too many people are worried about stuff, right? And when they worry about things, then they stop focusing on God, right? He said, I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Amen? Just like he reassured Moses, he reassured me that he'll personally go with me. Just like Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, when they came from Salinas, God personally came with them to the city of Milwaukee, right? Where people were taken out, God came with them, right? And they're here. Amen? It's because God is with them. God is with us, church. The presence of God is in this place, right? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says there's freedom, right? There's power, there's liberty, amen? The anointing of God is on this place. Are you going to run away from it? Right? Or are you going to stay in the presence of God and roll your sleeves up when it's time to fight? Amen? We're in a spiritual battle and we need to know God is with us. Amen? He is personally going with us. Too many people are giving up in the fight and are walking away from God because they feel like the presence of God is not with them in the ring. Amen? People are walking away from their callings. People are leaving God, amen, because they feel like the presence of God is not with them, right? It's hard to see God in the midst of a struggle, amen? But his word says that I will personally go with you, right? It doesn't just mean in your good times that I'll be with you. No, it means in your struggles, in your hard times, in the times where you feel like giving up, in the times where you're struggling, God is going to be there with you. He's not going to let you just suffer by yourself. No, if you're going to suffer, you're going to suffer with Christ. He's going to be there with you, amen? We need to know that not only is God in the ring with us, but he has given us his knockout power to defeat the enemy, amen? We have the power to knock out the enemy, amen? We have the power to go in the ring and just take him out, amen? But how many are tapping into that power? How many are tapping into that power? See, here, there's too many people in the ring fighting and thinking they're going to knock the enemy out with a jab. It's not happening. It's not happening. A jab is to keep the opponent at a distance, right? Or to hide the knockout punch, right? You're not going to win throwing jabs at the enemy. It's not going to happen. You need to get to a place where you're not worried about that counter punch, right? You're just there throwing haymakers if you have to, right? Not even blocking, right? You're just there, right? Just ready to rock them whenever you get the chance. Rock that. Amen. Brother Chan preached a heavy message. He said that if you're not rocking the enemy, then he's rocking you. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've taken too many hits from the enemy, right? But I'm here standing because I'm not going to give up. Amen. There's been men and women within this church that has taken so many hits from the enemy, but they're still here today. Why? Because they know that there's so many more things that are laying before them. There's so many souls that are there before them that they can't give up, that they can't walk away from God. Why? Because they realize that the presence of God is with them. Amen? That's the way somebody's going to stand. That's the only way a person, when they take a hit, is going to stand, is if they know that the presence of God is with them. Amen? Here this morning, the presence of God is with us. We need to realize that. We need to know that in our spirit that God is upon us, that he'll never leave us, that his hand is going to be upon us, that he's sovereign, that he's in control of all things. Amen. Right? We may think like, man, you know, there's been some things taking place. He was in control of that. Yes, he was. Right? Because those things that make you fall are there to make you get back up and get stronger. Amen. Amen? Those things that trip you up are there to be a stepping stone to just get closer to God. Too many people just run right into the hurdle, right? Because they're not focused on the race. Amen? Too many people are getting black eyes because they're not focused on the opponent in the fight. Amen? We need to realize when we're in the ring, right? When we got saved by Christ, when we received salvation, we stepped into that ring, right? We stepped into that fight. Amen? We know that there's an opponent. Amen? There's not going to be somebody that's just there that's just going to give you a hug in a fight. No, right? When you get in the ring to fight, you better be ready to fight. Amen? You better be ready to hit, and you better be ready to take a hit. Amen? It's not how hard you can get hit, right? It's how hard you can take a hit and get back up. Amen? The hits are going to come. Trust and believe that the hits are going to come. There's no way around it. If you're not getting hit, then there's something wrong. Amen? The hits are going to come, but what are you going to do with it? Amen? Are you going to just stay back and just keep getting hit, right? Get blacked and black-eyed and bloodied up? Or are you just going to stay in the ring and just learn to duck, dodge, slip the punches, right? Start giving them counter punches back, right? Instead of worrying about punching him and missing and getting punched, right? No, we need to realize that the Spirit of God is with us, right? That he's going to give us that wisdom, like, oh, he's about to hit you. You might as well move, right? He'll give us the insight to say, you know what? Hey, something's about to take place. You better switch something up. You better start focusing on your training, right? How many people are focused on their training here this day, right? We're in a spiritual battle, and there's too many people that are taking their vacation time right now, right? Like Pastor Jamie said, hey, the devil doesn't take vacations. Amen. It's every single day he's after you. And he's good at what he does, right? He's good at being a liar, right? Because that's why he's the father of all lies, right? He's good at what he does. Amen. But the God that I serve is better at what he does than what the devil is. Amen. There's going to come a time where you're going to have to stop worrying about that counterpunch. Amen. You're going to have to stop worrying about that counter hit. Right? Just give it your all. If you get hit and knocked down, well, praise God. Right? He'll be there to lift you back up. But if you stand back, you'll regret not throwing that punch when the opportunity comes. Amen. When there's somebody in your distance, right? Pastor Charlie says, if you're in my distance, right, you're getting hit. Don't come closer, right? You'll regret hitting the enemy when he's in your distance if you don't do it. Amen. If you're going to do it, take him out. Amen. Don't slap him, right? No. Don't slap him. We're looking to knock him out. Amen. You don't go into a fight slap boxing. No, we don't play that. You play that, you're going to be knocked out the first round. Amen. Too many people are letting the devil win too many rounds, right? We're in a fight that's made for us to win, right? At the end of the fight, we're meant to win the fight. Too many people are forfeiting that, right? They want to throw the towel in halfway through the fight. Amen. Your reward is greater if you just stay in the fight to the end. Right? It doesn't matter how beat up and battered and bruised you are at the end of the fight. Just know that your hand will be raised. Amen? And that's what I look forward to, is my hand being raised at the end of the fight. We need to realize that the devil doesn't have any power unless we give it to him. Right? Too many people are empowering the devil. Too many people are letting the devil, you know, just get a hold of him and choke him out. Too many people are just allowing the devil to have his way within their lives. Amen? Are you allowing the devil to use you to build onto his momentum? See, here this day, we're a bunch of people who love God. Amen? I don't know about you, but I love God. And I'm not going to stop this fight. Amen? I'm not going to walk away from God. Amen. I know that he's with me. And if I know that he's with me, then I'm never going to give up. Because his presence is just going to keep convicting me to continue to go forward and forward. Amen. I put here, too many people are just running on fumes when God has given us the ability to have a full tank to the point of overflow. Amen. How many people we got in there that's like, oh, let me get a little bit more in there, right? To the point of overflow. God doesn't have to pull up. He's just going to let it flow out. Amen. Too many people are running on fumes, right? Just know that one day those fumes are going to run out. And just like a car, we're going to die spiritually. Too many people are just running on fumes, right? And I believe that's why this church isn't packed out, because too many people are running on fumes. They're not filled to the point of overflow. Why? Because they have given up. They forfeited their calling. Can you imagine if all the people that have been touched within Victory Outreach Milwaukee were to be here? Like Pastor Jamie said, this building wouldn't be big enough for us. Amen? We'd have to find a bigger building. But because people gave up on their walk with God, because people have given up on their calling, we're at where we're at. Amen? But that shouldn't discourage you here this day. That should encourage you to say, you know what? That empty chair right there, yeah, that's for my brother Jose. Yep. He doesn't know yet, but that's his chair, right? That's that row right there, yep, that's my whole family, right? The ones that people, that their parents don't even like, yep, that's them, right? For the outcasts of society, these chairs are here for souls to be saved. If we realize how much spots we have empty and available for people to just come and receive Christ, man, we could change not only this city of Milwaukee, but we could change this world. Amen. We've already been, you know, being used within this region to host events. Amen. We have the leadership here. We have the people here. But too many people are backing off. Amen. Too many people are backing off. Just know one day, running on fumes, you will spiritually die. At the end of every fight, there's usually one person with his hand raised, right? Sometimes you'll have a draw, but in this spiritual fight that we're fighting, we're predestined to have our hand raised. Amen? But is that you? Are you going to be one, the one with your hand raised? Or is God going to say, depart from me, for I've never known you? Right? What is it going to be for you? Right? We can't say that, man, we didn't have enough. No, we have the presence of God that says he will personally go with us. We have more than enough. If we're here today, we have more than enough. We have life. Amen? We have life. We have the presence of God. We have more than enough. But are we going to be those that are just running on fumes for the rest of our life and can't make that extra stop to pick up that person that's out there lost and bound? Right? Why? Because we're running on fumes. We don't have enough gas in the tank to go pick them up, right? Physically and spiritually, right? You don't want to make a way for that person to get to church and receive salvation, that one service can transform their life. We need to realize that every service that we come to can be a transformation for somebody's life. But if you don't get them here, then it's never going to happen. Too many people are running on fumes in the church, guys. And that's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how it's meant to be. The Bible says that we can be filled to the point of overflow, right? Overflow at all times, not just once a month, right? Not just once a year, right? Not every quarter. No, every single day we have the ability to be full to the point of overflow. But what are we doing in our own time? What are we doing in our time of training? Are we just getting fattened? Or are we working our spiritual muscles? Are we there running and exercising so that when that sixth and seventh and eighth round come, we're just running on fumes, or we're as fresh as we were in the first round? Amen? We need to realize that we have the power, the authority, the ability. Why? Because it comes with the presence of God, right? All those things come with the presence of God. All things are made possible, right? Not just some things, all things are made possible. For that family member that cursed God, right? All things are made possible for that person to come back and come into the rehab home, right? And to be transformed and to be that next pastor and to be that next evangelist. Amen? But if we're running on fumes, we're going to miss it every time. If you give up, walked away from God, or felt like God isn't with you, the good news is that God is there with you, and he's welcoming you back. Amen? If you have given up, you say, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm walking away from you, God, because you ain't with me. The good news of the gospel is that he is there with you. And not only is he there with you, he's welcoming you back with open arms. See, that's somewhere where we need to rejoice in God. Amen? Some of us feel like, man, how can I go back to that church if I messed up? Right? Because we're a people that love God, right? We were messed up when we came into this place, and he welcomed us with open arms. Our pastor, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, they opened their arms to each and every one of us. We can go to their house at any time, and they'll be there for us. Amen? Because they have the love of Christ in them. They have the presence of God upon them. Amen? We need to know that whatever you have done, God is not going to be unfaithful to you. And in closing, go to the book of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And it reads, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Right? Even when we denied ourselves, even when we were unfaithful, right, he remained faithful. Is Miguel here? If the worship team can make their way. Even when we're unfaithful, God remains faithful. Even in the midst of our storms, God remained faithful. Just like he did with the people who would spit on him, right, who would betray him. All those that were unfaithful to God, right? He clearly says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. We need to realize this day, amen, that even when we are unfaithful, that God remains faithful. We need to be grateful this day. We need to be grateful because if you're unfaithful to a spouse, it's hard to say that they're going to remain faithful to you, right? At work, if you're unfaithful and you go 5, 10, 20 minutes late, they're not going to remain faithful to you and you might get fired. Amen. If you're not faithful to putting gas in your car, the fumes will run out and you will run out of gas. Amen. But the Bible says that even if we were unfaithful, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny who he is. Right? The God that we serve is a faithful God. We need to realize how faithful God really is. Amen. It's because of who he is. He can't deny that he's faithful. He can't deny it. He can't deny it. Amen. Even when we were unfaithful, he remained faithful. Even when we walked away, he was still there with us. Even if we gave up, he was still there with us. Even when it seemed like we were all alone, he was there for us. Amen. For those that may have tried to commit suicide, he was that person. He was the reason why you didn't commit suicide. Amen. He should be the reason for our joy, our happiness, our peace. Amen. Too many people are looking to the world for their joy, for their happiness. Smoke a little weed, you get some peace of mind, right? No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. It doesn't matter how unfaithful you have been to God. He will always be there for you to come back to as we all stand. Amen. He'll always be there.